A young girl and a woman have been seriously injured after a suspected stabbing in Dublin city centre this afternoon. Two other children were injured in the attack. A suspect has been detained by Gardaí.
5-year-old girl and a woman in her 30s are in a serious condition in hospital following an attack at Parnell Square East in Dublin this afternoon.
A date has been set for the trial of a man charged with the attempted murder of 3 children on Parnell Square in Dublin city. Riyad Bushakar faces 5 other charges, including assault causing serious harm, 3 counts of assault causing harm, and 1 knife offence.
Welcome to All Rise. I'm Aisling Moore, radio producer.
And I'm Frank Graney, Newstalk's courts correspondent.
The jury is out. After weeks of evidence, the 9 men and 3 women began their deliberations this afternoon.
And before they did, the judge asked them to approach their task logically and forensically and to leave emotion or sympathy at the door.
This is All Rise, the Riyad Bushakar trial. Welcome to episode 15, Cold and Clinical. So the jury has begun its deliberations, Frank. They retired just before 3 o'clock and spent about an hour in their room before they were sent home. But before that, the judge spent some time directing them on the relevant legal principles, the ingredients of the charges faced by Riyad Bushakar. And he also summarised some of the evidence heard over the past few weeks.
Exactly. Yeah, I suppose when it comes to a judge's charge, which is the last step in the process before the jury goes out to begin its deliberations, his or her, as the case may be, function is twofold. Firstly, I suppose they must guide the jurors in relation to the relevant legal principles in any given case. And also their second function is to sum up the evidence for the jurors. And that's exactly what has happened over the course of the last couple of days. Mr. Justice Tony Hunt's charge, the jury began yesterday afternoon when he went through the 3 safeguards that underpin every criminal case. Presumption of innocence. Riyad Bushakar has pleaded not guilty to all of the charges, the 8 charges that he faces. And as such, he is entitled to a presumption of innocence. The judge went through the burden of proof. The onus rests with the prosecution. It never crosses the aisle. It is up to the prosecution to prove its case beyond a reasonable doubt. And Mr. Justice Tony Hunt also spoke about that standard of proof. To prove any of the allegations against Mr. Bushakar, the prosecution must satisfy the jurors beyond a reasonable doubt. That is a high but not impossible standard of proof. And it differs to civil cases. This is clearly a criminal case. Mr. Bushakar is facing criminal charges. And the judge actually used Conor McGregor's civil rape trial to make the point, to explain the difference between the standard of proof in civil and criminal cases. The standard of proof required in civil cases is on the balance of probabilities. So in Nikita Han's legal action against McGregor, the jury only needs to be satisfied that he probably did what was alleged by Ms. Han. In this case, and in any criminal trial, all reasonable doubt must be removed for the jury to find an accused person guilty. Probable guilt is not enough. And as Mr. Justice Tony Hunt put it today, they must reach the point where they can say that they have no reason to doubt the correctness of the prosecution's case.
And after explaining those legal principles, that's where Mr. Justice Hunt left his charge yesterday. And when he picked it up this morning, he explained the issue paper to the jurors. This was given to the jury foreman, and it essentially lists all the charges against Riyad Bushakar. The jurors were told they must consider each allegation separately and that the result of one count doesn't have a domino effect in terms of the outcome of any of the others. He then went through the ingredients that have to be proven in each case.
That's right. The offences faced and denied by Mr. Bushakar fall into different groups. 3 attempted murder charges, they're the most serious offences. Intentionally or recklessly causing serious harm to Leanne Flynn, the childcare worker was minding the children that afternoon. Assault causing harm to 2 other children and the French man who disarmed Mr. Bushakar. And there is also the knife offence. The attempted murder charges, as I say, they're the most serious offences. They contain 2 essential elements, both of which have to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. Firstly, the prosecution must prove the alleged acts came very close to causing death. It must be an attempt to actually kill somebody. Anything short of that is not enough. The degree of injury the jury was told is irrelevant. If the jury is satisfied in relation to that element, then they can consider the next one, which is intention to kill.
And as we know from the closing speeches, that is the main battleground between the prosecution and defence. Intention to kill must be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. And in his charge, the judge said that because intention can't be directly observed, it is proved by an accused person's inference, by words, behaviour during the incident, what happens after the fact. He told the jurors they must assess the evidence and the inferences that can be drawn from it.
Yeah, the question that they would have to ask themselves, and this was how Mr. Justice Hunt put it today, is what purpose did he have in mind? So, to be clear, if they don't find the prosecution has established a physical attempt to kill or the required intention or both, then they can't find him guilty of attempted murder. But because of the alternative verdicts, that doesn't mean they automatically acquit. If they decide the prosecution hasn't proven the attempted murder charge against the most seriously injured girl, then they can consider the verdict of not guilty of attempted murder, but guilty of causing serious harm. That's the same offence faced by Mr. Bouchacker in relation to Ms. Flynn. And the jury was told there's also the option of a full acquittal, but the judge said he doesn't think that's really there. He said he considered that to be, in his words, a theoretical position as far as the attempted murder counts are concerned.
Alternative verdicts are also available in relation to the other two attempted murder charges. If the jury isn't satisfied that Riad Bouchacker tried to murder the other girl and the five-year-old boy, then they can consider whether he is guilty of assault causing harm.
Precisely. And the reason the alternative verdict differs in relation to those two alleged victims is because in legal terms, the harm caused to them doesn't reach the threshold for serious harm. And after explaining those alternative verdicts, Mr. Justice Hunt then returned to the issue of intention. He said planning and premeditation isn't required because intention can be established in a flash. He said it can be formed instantly and may only exist for a very short period of time.
And once he had explained the law in relation to attempted murder, he then moved on to the charge of intentionally or recklessly causing serious harm. Again, that's a possible alternative verdict in the case of the most seriously injured girl, but it's also a charge faced by Mr. Bouchacker in relation to Leanne Flynn. The judge said he doesn't think the existence of serious harm will seriously be argued in this case, but it's up to the jurors. He said what they'll have to consider is the intention or recklessness. That's the guilty mind required for an offence like this. He said somebody is reckless where they recognise their conduct carries a substantial risk of causing serious harm, and in circumstances where they know their conduct is causing that risk, they go ahead and run the risk anyway.
Yeah, and the jurors were told recklessness is an alternative to having a defined purpose and intention. And the judge then moved on to the three assault causing harm charges faced by Mr. Bouchacker. He's facing that charge in relation to two children, a girl and a boy, and the French man who disarmed him. He said an assault must be proven beyond a reasonable doubt, and he gave the legal definition of assault. It occurs when a person intentionally or recklessly applies force or causes an impact on the body of another, either directly or indirectly, without their consent. There's a lot to unpack there. And he did so. He broke those ingredients down for the jurors. He said there are certain situations where a person may have a lawful excuse to assault somebody, but he said he wasn't sure that arises in this particular case. He told the jury they must be satisfied that it was intentional or reckless. Again, that goes to the guilty mind of an accused person in cases like this. And the judge said it doesn't have to be direct, and it must be done without the consent of the other person.
And in terms of consent, he then specifically referenced the case involving the brave young Frenchman. He said he took a risk by intervening, but that shouldn't be considered as consent for what happened afterwards. In simple terms, he said if they find there was an assault that resulted in harm, then that completes the threshold.
Yeah, and he said that the bar is low when it comes to harm. It can include harm to the body or mind and includes pain or loss of consciousness. And he said what happened to that French man who intervened may be low in terms of harm caused, but he suggested that a nick of a knife to the face or hand was certainly capable of causing harm. But again, He stressed that that was something for the jury to decide in their deliberations. He also gave examples of indirect assaults, like encouraging a dog to bite somebody, driving a car into somebody else's car, pushing a drunken man into another person, tossing a firework into a crowd where it's thrown from person to person before it goes off.
And specifically in relation to the Frenchman, he said he was entitled to intervene and use force to take the knife away from Mr. Bouchacker. The questions for the jury to answer is whether there was an unlawful interference with his body. Was there force used? And did Mr. Bouchacker act intentionally or recklessly in terms of the application of force?
Yeah, so that was assault causing harm and the judge's directions in terms of legal guidance. He then moved on to count eight. Count eight is the knife offence. The jurors were told they must decide whether Mr. Bouchacker produced the knife while committing the relevant offence in a manner likely to intimidate. And the judge explained that if attempted murder wasn't proved, the count could instead attach to any offence that had been proved. On the indictment, the specific offence of attempted murder is linked with the knife offence, but Mr. Justice Hunt told the jury to put a line through that. Instead of attempted murder, he said it should read while committing an offence. And once he had explained the alternative verdicts and the various legal elements of each of the charges faced by Mr. Bouchacker, he then moved on to sum up some of the evidence.
In summing up the evidence, Mr. Justice Hunt didn't run through the entire trial. He referenced the CCTV evidence by telling the jurors it was a useful yardstick to measure and check the other evidence in the case. He said it was important not to analyse things on a standalone or isolated basis. He said the camera is another witness in the case, but he didn't go through the entire 1 hour compilation shown to the jury. Instead, he just focused on what happened on Parnell Square East that afternoon.
He did, and in doing so, he said that doesn't mean the jury should ignore everything that happened beforehand. And just because he doesn't focus on certain things, he said that doesn't mean they're not important. He also spoke of the frailty of human beings when it comes to recalling traumatic events. He said it's true to say we are all humans, we all make mistakes. And what happened that afternoon was shocking and horrendous, he said. Shocking and horrendous for anyone to have to see. And he said that that was relevant in terms of assessing what people remembered and how they remembered it.
He then moved on to the eyewitness accounts. But before he did, he stressed that he would be just giving them a summary of what certain witnesses said. He told the jury foreman that if they wanted it verbatim, then they should ask for the transcript.
And once that was done, he gave some general guidance in terms of how they should approach their deliberations. Every jury is different. We don't know how juries approach their deliberations, such as the sanctity, I suppose, of the jury room. But he did give them some guidance. He asked them to be objective, to be rational, to put emotions firmly to one side. He asked them not to allow a cold clinical assessment of the evidence to be contaminated by emotion.
Be logical, he said, be forensic. He said they shouldn't be influenced by anything beyond the evidence. He said the opinions of anyone else are irrelevant. He also said not to worry about the consequences of their verdicts if they find him guilty on any counts. He said that's his job. He'll deal with the consequences of guilty verdicts if they arise.
And to that end, he said, there isn't a mob outside. He said, it's nothing to do with social media, the burning of vehicles or flag waving. He urged all 12 jurors to get involved, to express their views. He asked them to listen to each other, to be respectful of each other and to keep an open mind. And he asked them to consider the witnesses fairly. He said they can accept what they said in whole, in part, or they can reject entirely what they had to say.
He told them the only verdict he can accept on any of the charges is a unanimous one. So all 12 jurors must be in agreement before he can accept a verdict. They were again told to leave aside prejudice, sympathy and emotion before being handed the issue paper and a one-page brief setting out the alternative verdicts. And with that, they were sent out to begin their deliberations.
That's right. After weeks of evidence, the case has now been left in the hands of the jury. And they were told that there isn't a timeline, there isn't a deadline by which they have to come back and return verdicts with. It's very much in their hands now. They retired at 2:49 this afternoon, but they were brought back less than 10 minutes later to be told, when they come to look at the Garda interviews, we know Riyad Bhushikar was interviewed 7 times by An Garda Síochána, and some video recordings of those interviews were shown to the jurors. They'll be given the memos of all of those interviews as part of their deliberations. And when they consider them, the judge told them that they mustn't consider the questions asked or the theories pushed to Mr. Bhushikar by his interviewers. That's not evidence, only Mr. Bhushikar's answers. They then went out. They spent about an hour in the jury room by my watch before being sent home for the evening just after 4 o'clock.
And before they went home, the jury foreman handed a note to the judge requesting a number of items, including the judge's explanation of what constitutes attempted murder, intentionally or recklessly causing serious harm, and assault causing harm. They also asked for the judge's summary of the eyewitness testimony and transcripts of the closing speeches heard yesterday.
Yep, they've also asked for the transcripts of 4 witnesses, including Leanne Flynn and the Frenchman who disarmed Riyad Bhushikar, both of them obviously also alleged victims in this case. They've asked for a transcript of the evidence given by the testimony given by Professor Yvonne O'Dowd. You may remember her evidence. She is a forensic scientist who was asked to examine a number of items, including the knife, and also the transcript from the testimony of another civilian witness, Corinne Allen. And Mr. Justice Hunt said that after receiving that note and considering it, he said that he would give them what they requested when they return tomorrow morning.
And as soon as there are any developments, we'll bring them to you in our next episode. But that's it for episode 15 of All Rise, the Riyad Bhushikar trial.
Thanks for listening, and make sure to follow us or subscribe to the podcast.
All Rise, the Riyad Bhushikar trial. A News Talk original podcast. Was hosted by Frank Graney and Aisling Moore. Follow the podcast on newstalk.com, on the Go Loud app, or wherever you get your podcasts.